Imagine if today was the day your idea changed someone's life. Imagine if you could help someone pay for college, help your community build a new playground, or help a child make it to that dream competition. With GoFundMe, it's all possible. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform trusted by over 190 million people. Every week, ordinary people meet their goals and do extraordinary things. Your ideas matter. GoFundMe isn't just for emergencies. Want to raise money for your kid's soccer team or raise funds for a small business, a creative project, or event? GoFundMe helps you turn ideas into reality. And help adds up. Fundraisers you start for someone else raise up to 5 times more. So think right now, who could use your help? Change rarely comes from waiting. It comes from someone deciding, today I'll start. Don't wait for someone else to bring change. Today, start your fundraiser in just minutes at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com to start your fundraiser. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome, Money Buddies, to this week's episode of Money Talk. This week, we're talking about the scary and frightening world of health insurance and debunking the jargon and confusion. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming, and let's get talking. Today, we're diving into the unknown and often scary world of health insurance. I'm bringing on a fellow money buddy with 25 years of experience in HR. She's going to help us break down some of those scary and unknown terms around health insurance, as well as help us understand some of the opportunities that these different options can provide us with. There are a ton of options out there, and they can all be pretty confusing and honestly frustrating. I'm sure you've been looking at health insurance plans before, and you get confused just like me about all the different words, plans, pricing, schemes, and everything that goes into the complex and confusing world of health insurance. It can really be so incredibly frustrating and confusing. So I am hopeful that today's episode is going to help us all get over some of the fear that we have in this area of our finances. There's a lot to learn today, so let's keep this Money Talk train moving. So real quick here, I want to jump in with Skylar's story time. This is a new segment that's going to appear on some episodes, maybe every episode. I guess we'll see. Let me know what you think about it. But today's story time is about an opportunity that my wife and I were able to take advantage of. The Chase Sapphire Preferred right now has a 100,000 point sign-up bonus, and this is huge. We had signed up actually right before the 100,000 point bonus came out. We signed up when it was still the 60,000 point bonus. But thankfully, I was able to call Chase, and they said they noted my account to give us the increased 100,000 point bonus. We haven't quite got it yet, so we'll see if they give us that difference in points. But we did get the 60,000 point bonus already, and we have a trip coming up to New York City. So we were able to get all of our flights to and from New York City for free. How awesome is that? What an amazing opportunity and benefit from using credit cards wisely. And I wanted to share this story here to kind of encourage you that you don't have to go all in on credit card hacking just to take advantage of these bonuses and opportunities with just a little bit of intentionality and forward thinking. We knew this trip was coming up, so we thought ahead. We saw the sign-up bonus. We said, let's get the card. That way, when we plan things, we can get more points back on the stuff we're purchasing through Chase Travel or whatever portal you might be purchasing through. But then also, maybe we can get this sign-up bonus. And how awesome is that? We got about $890 worth of flights for free. And now I know if you're a hardcore credit card hacker, you might be scoffing at that value, but it was worth it for us. We got a pretty good return on it, and that's what matters. I don't like being super hardcore into this, transferring points everywhere, all over the place. I just want to keep it simple. And honestly, I usually just like to keep it as simple as cash back. And now I know there's a lot of you laughing or cringing when you hear the idea of credit card cash back, but that is also a great opportunity for people to take advantage of. My wife and I have been able to cash in thousands of dollars of credit card rewards just as cash, which is super useful and super versatile. So a little bit of forward thinking and planning can really help with your credit card rewards. And I just wanted to share that story real quick, but let's get back into today's episode with today's money buddy, Christine McLaurin. With over 25 years in experience in human resources, Christine has developed a strong passion for benefits administration. And in the recent years, she has expanded her expertise to include financial coaching, becoming a certified budget coach with My Budget Coach and YNAB. Christine is deeply committed to supporting individuals in achieving greater financial well-being. The money talking points for this week are: what health insurance plan is right for you? And 2, how can you use an HSA to minimize taxes? And 3, why is disability insurance important? With those money talking points in mind, let's get talking and welcome Christine to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Yeah, I'm excited for this conversation because health insurance can be one of those areas that is so complicated with jargon and all sorts of different words that we don't understand. So when you reached out and mentioned that you've been in this area for a while, you've worked in HR for a while, which is who we tend to go to with all these questions. Hopefully, I'm sure there's a lot of HR people that didn't expect to get into the health insurance world, but I'm sure it's a big part of the job. But I want to start off with some definitions to provide some foundational understanding and basics for people when it comes to health insurance. Okay. Why is health insurance so necessary, and why is that something that we need to have?
Health insurance is going to be like your car insurance. You're helping yourself prevent financial ruin. So it protects you from unexpected high medical costs. It will usually cover preventive care, so you can use your health insurance for yearly preventive exams, routine blood work, annual vaccines, that type of thing. The bottom line is it helps pay for medical bills when you have something medical going on. If you don't have medical insurance, 2 days in the hospital in the emergency room or even admitted is going to cost tens of thousands of dollars, and that's where the health insurance comes in and will pay for a lot of those bills. It really helps to prevent financial ruin.
Yeah. And I recently heard of a story. My wife works in healthcare. Unfortunately, they had somebody come in that they had to refer out to an emergency room who eventually got transferred to a larger regional hospital. And this person was self-pay. That's a terrifying thing to think of now. That's where GoFundMes and things like that come into play, that people just can't stomach these medical bills because they are so expensive. In terms of the insurance world, there's avoidance, reduction, retention, and transfer. And insurance is the transfer aspect. You're transferring your risk, like you mentioned. You're taking that risk of that financial ruin from these health events and transferring it to the insurance company whose job it is to manage that money.
Yeah.
There's a couple of quick terms that people need to know. We'll just go one by one here. What's a premium?
Okay, so the premium is going to be what you pay per month to have the health insurance. I've been employed for a very long time, and my employer pays, let's say, 90% of the premium, but then I'm going to be paying maybe 10% out of my paycheck. So that's the premium. If you have your own plan, then you're going to pay for the plan every month, and that is what you pay. Just like your car insurance, you got to pay a premium every 6 months, every month, whatever it is, once a year, and that's what you're paying to have the health insurance.
Yeah, premium is your monthly payment. And I think one thing you mentioned is that so many people don't realize their employer is probably paying a pretty sizable portion of that premium. We're going to talk about this phrase later, but COBRA comes into play. That I think that's what catches people off guard. But let's get back to some definitions.
Sure.
What's a deductible?
When you have health insurance, you're going to have a deductible, which is your portion that you have to pay before the health insurance kicks in. It's not going to be for every service, but let's say you have surgery, for example. If your deductible is $1,000, you're going to be responsible for that first $1,000 before the insurance company even starts paying. And again, it's not on every single service. A doctor's visit, for example, is probably not going to be subject to the deductible. That's going to be a copay. And I know we're going to talk about that here in a second. But really, you know, a deductible, your portion before the insurance starts paying.
Yeah, that's an easy way to look at it. And if you look at your health insurance breakdown, you may see something that says 80-20 after deductible. That's getting towards coinsurance, which is another variable we have to figure out what it means here. Yep. What is coinsurance?
So once you've hit your deductible, you're still responsible for a portion, and that is called your coinsurance. Let's say I have surgery and my deductible is $1,000. I pay the first $1,000. After that, I still have to pay 20% of that bill. Mm-hmm. So for these specific services, you're paying, you know, like I said, 20%, 10%, whatever it is, the coinsurance, that's your still portion until your out-of-pocket maximum. Your out-of-pocket maximum is going to be the most that you're going to pay for any medical service or any medical bills for the year. Once you hit your out-of-pocket max, the insurance pays 100% after that.
Yes.
Usually your copays are a set amount for a specific service that you're responsible for. Let's say you go to the doctor and you're sick, your copay for the office visit, let's say it's $10. So that's your copay. And then everything else is paid for. Those copays also apply toward your out-of-pocket maximum. If my out-of-pocket maximum is $3,000 for the year, that includes all of your copays for your office visits, for your prescriptions. It's going to include your deductible as well as your coinsurance. Mm. If you have a surgery at the beginning of the year and you hit your out-of-pocket maximum, you might want to go and get more stuff taken care mm-hmm. of that year because you've hit your out-of-pocket max and the insurance company is paying 100% after that.
Yeah, one of the opportunities that exists with health insurance is when you start to get to those maximums, you may have an opportunity to take advantage of it in terms of more discretionary medical treatment that maybe you need, but it's not pressing because it would be a little bit too expensive. So that's one thing to consider is when you start getting to those points where you're hitting those maximums. I want to talk about one of the bigger opportunities. It wouldn't be a finance podcast talking about insurance if we didn't get into high deductible plans in the HSA. So let's talk real quick about high deductible plans. What are these? I think it's pretty self-explanatory that they have a high deductible, but can you give us a little bit more detail on them?
They're high deductible because any medical service that you have done, including office visits, prescriptions, anything, you are responsible for 100% mm-hmm. of those bills until you've hit your deductible. I have been on a high deductible plan for the last 3 or 4 years, and I like it.
Same with my wife and I. We've done
it
for a couple years.
Your out-of-pocket max is going to be less, but the other advantage is your premium out of your paycheck or your monthly premium is going to generally be less than on a regular PPO type low plan or a high plan. You can also put money into a health savings account you're on the high deductible plan. Many employers will contribute to your HSA. So you use that money in your HSA to help pay for these deductibles and the coinsurance and everything. The money comes out of your paycheck pre-tax. Mm-hmm. Or if you're self-employed and you have your own HSA outside of a paycheck, you take a tax deduction. Mm-hmm. So it's tax deductible. A lot of people will max out their HSAs for the year and not use it and use it as one of their retirement tools. Mm-hmm. It carries over year after year. When you retire, you can use it towards your Medicare premiums. So that's a big advantage of the HSA. But yeah, the high deductible plan can be very confusing if you don't want to have a surprise, because if you go to the doctor at the beginning of your plan year and it's $100, you're going to have to pay the $100. Whereas your coworker.
It's much more than
$100. If your coworker is on a regular PPO plan and what's called the low plan and their copay is $25 for the office visit, you're going to be like, well, why the heck, am I having to pay the full bill? The theory behind it is it puts more decision-making into the consumer, and that's the theory behind it, hoping that people would take care of themselves better and not have so many medical claims.
It leads to less adverse selection for health insurance companies. They don't want people choosing the plan they're going to exploit. They want people who are going to use it more consciously. Right. The savings that you get is in terms of your monthly premium, like you mentioned. So while your coworker only has that $25 copay and you have to foot the $100, $200 entire bill, your paycheck every single month might be that $100 or $200, $300 or more than them because your premium is less. As your deductible gets higher, your premium gets lower. That is something to consider. And now we're both talking about, we have high deductible plans, HSAs and things like that. We love it. Should everybody be using these or is there still a case to use other types of plans?
What I tell my employees are, look, if you're pretty healthy, you generally don't go to the doctor a lot. You just want the preventive care because even on the high deductible plans, they still pay 100% for preventive services.
Exactly.
If you're generally healthy, this might be the way to go and you'll enjoy the lower premiums out of your paycheck. If you're in a situation where you have a lot going on, my theory is I'm going to still look at the premium that's coming out of my paycheck and I'm going to add up what my total would be. Then I'm going to look at my out-of-pocket maximum for the year. And with the savings coming from the premium paying a lot less versus the out-of-pocket maximum, it still might be okay situation. Mm-hmm. It's going to be where you're in the middle. Like, yeah. You know, so you might wind up, you know, having some out of pocket bills that you're paying. But, you know, the in-between thing is where mm-hmm. I think some people, it might not be a good choice.
Yeah. And it's definitely something to look at. One thing that my wife and I have learned on our high deductible plan is, yes, we're going into it expecting to pay the full cost for things. Often insurance companies, I don't know how this part works, but there's magic savings. Here was the bill. We negotiated it to actually this amount. I'm just like, okay, why was it being charged higher in the first place? But there can still be some savings, even though your insurance isn't technically paying for anything. There may still be some insurance discounts or different partnerships that they have in some of these areas that's able to get it that still applies towards your high deductible and things like that. And I do want to mention here for people, as we're talking about specific health insurance types, I want to talk about that tack on to the high deductible plan with the HSA, because this is, I think, one of the, it's like the most magical investing account, because like mm-hmm. you said, the money can go in pre-tax or tax deductible. It grows tax-free. And then if you use it for these qualified medical expenses, it's still like tax-free withdrawals. So it's the only yep. money you can find that's tax-free from beginning to end. So there's a right. lot of potential there. And I shared it on a recent podcast episode where my wife and I, we've been investing our HSA for a few years now, and we took out some money to pay ourselves back, because you don't actually have to spend directly out of it. Yep. You can reimburse yourself, which is another magic trick of the HSA. We had been investing our money for years and finally sold some investments to pay ourselves back. And we were able to pay for these procedures we had to get done completely from our gains. So it's like, not only was it all tax-free, but it wasn't even our money, if you really think about it. Yeah, so HSAs yeah. can be a super powerful tool.
I completely agree. For my employees that are interested in the high deductible plan, I also tell them, look, if you can get through the first year mm-hmm. of having this high deductible plan, and you continue every paycheck, put $10 in, make sure you put in what the company's going to match as well. If you can get through that first year, you're going to have at least your deductible in your health savings account. So if something does happen, the money's going to be there. And you take your little debit card, you use it at your office, at the pharmacy, wherever. But then, yeah, continue to add to it. That was my big thing when we first introduced the high deductible plan. Mm-hmm. I kept telling myself, get through the first year, make sure I have enough to cover at least my deductible, and it'll be smooth sailing from there.
Yeah, that's kind of the magic point in the HSA, is if you're able to have that deductible amount in cash in case something does happen where you have to hit that. Because yes, I just talked about how my wife and I were able to float a lot of our expenses out of our own savings and then reimburse ourselves. But if something happens that you get right up to that deductible right away, you're probably not going to be able to float it with savings, because stuff's going to be tight.
Right.
Having at least your deductible in the HSA is such a good place to get to. At least have that in cash or in some sort of safer investment. But then beyond that, that's when you can use Fidelity, for instance, is where my HSA is at. And we have our money invested in just a total market index fund. It just sits there and grows. Right now with the stock market, it's yeah. going down quite a bit. Yeah. Hopefully we don't have any health expenses come up. I can let that grow over a long time period. And then if you're able to go 2 and 3 years without hitting that deductible, not only are you getting the lower premiums, but then you're getting the benefits of that growing in the stock market. And that money just continues to sit there and grow. It's not like an FSA where you use it or lose it. Right. It'll continue to right. grow and stick with you.
Right, absolutely.
The HSA is a magical tool. There, like you said, there's some instances where people may want to use a different plan. So don't just take this as blanket advice that you have to make sure to sign up for the high deductible plan. Consider your options, because there may be certain circumstances where you know you're going to hit that out-of-pocket maximum quickly. So maybe you want to get it lower, or figure out, there's a ton of different dials you can pull. Yep. with health insurance. But yeah. let's say people are beginning to move on from their jobs. This is a term we threw out in the beginning.
Okay.
COBRA. What is COBRA?
So you leave your employer when they offer COBRA. It is your opportunity to continue their health insurance plan for either 18 months or 36 months. Mm-hmm. 18 months is a regular separation from employment. 36 months is something like a death.
A divorce is one of those
couple yeah, of things. Yes. So you're going to be responsible, though, for the full premium to continue that health insurance. You have a window of 60 days to elect the COBRA, and then you have another 45 days to make first payment. Hmm. So if you play the timing game, You're almost at 90 days before you have to pay, go back and pay for everything, but it'll retro back to when you left your employment. It's expensive. It's very, very expensive. Even the high deductible plan for my employer, the premium's $800 or $900 for a single person.
Yeah.
So it's, you're, and if you're on family coverage, it's going to be well over $1,000. You could be hitting even close to $1,500, maybe even $2,000. Mm-hmm. So COBRA is expensive, very expensive. But again, you know, it's a way for you to continue your health insurance, the same plan that you were with when you were employed. You can continue to use that health insurance.
It's lots expensive.
Lots of dollars.
Yeah. So I pulled up my pay stub right now just to give an example. It's just me and my wife. This is an employee plus one type plan. The premium we pay is $145 a paycheck, and the employer contribution is $419 a paycheck. That's already over $550 a paycheck times two per monthly. That's over $1,000. And with COBRA, they can actually charge you 102% because they can put in some administrative fees and things like that. So it got expensive quickly there. I didn't even quite realize how expensive that actually would end up. I was like, oh, it's probably around $500, but then you remember it's per paycheck. And you got to double that for monthly. Yep. So COBRA is an option if you have no other options. But
it is.
If you're terminated from your employment, you probably have a life event that counts to get other forms of insurance. So should somebody just by default accept COBRA, or is there opportunities to do something different?
I haven't done a lot of research on the marketplace, but I would look at that route first. And again, you can't waste time because you only have a 60-day window to elect COBRA after you've gotten the notice. You could also call an insurance broker and say, hey, I need some individual coverage. Do you have some options? They may have all kinds of options that you can look at as well. I know that healthcare or the Obamacare, you can get credits from the government to help lower your premium. So there's a couple different avenues you can look at.
Yeah. And we are only about 20 minutes or so into this, and there's already been so many terms, options, and possibilities we've thrown out that this is a great place to connect with someone that can at least get you pointed in the right direction in terms of a coach or your HR department. Or like you mentioned, there's brokers out there that are professionals in this space. We'll talk about how people can connect with you at the end, but you mentioned you have 25 years of experience in this realm within HR and such. I would love to hear, how can choosing the right health insurance be beneficial? Have you ever seen someone make the right choice here and it really helps them out?
Yeah, I mean, especially preventive care. We actually have a wellness incentive. We want people to go get their annual physicals. There's been many cases where, you know, you go get your annual physical and it brings up something, might have something going on. So you catch maybe some illnesses early on and you can get it taken care of.
One of the thoughts that came to my mind is having the right health insurance means actually using the benefits. Oh, so you mentioned this preventative stuff is covered. Yeah. I don't know the last time I went in for some sort of a preventative screening, even though I've had health insurance for all of my life, I believe, but I'm not fully utilizing it. So I think that is certainly an area that we need to make sure we're aware of, and at least scheduling that annual checkup and things like that, because like you said, it can catch those things ahead of time. And then they're going to be a whole lot less expensive when they're not an emergency room visit to fix that. Making sure you're actually using your benefits is something that you'd recommend.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, going along the lines of preventive care, I'd say probably more people will use their dental insurance and get their twice a year cleanings, but they don't think about the routine lab work. Get your cholesterol checked, get your, you know, whatever, you know, all the things that they test for you with your blood work, get that checked every year. And yeah, and even the health insurance may provide some type of incentive. It's 100% covered, but there may be other wellness incentives that you can take advantage of as well.
My health insurance did something where if you like logging your steps or something like that, I know at one point they gave you a free Apple Watch. If you did a certain criteria, there's a lot of things right there that can be extra little benefits that are just cool to have and can potentially save you some money and help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Yep. They may have all kinds of discount programs that you can take advantage of, gym memberships. I know. So our health insurance, we switched to a new one in 2024 and they were offering free scales. Like if you signed up for their whatever.
So is mine, like a free smart scale.
Yeah. So I'm taking advantage of that. So that's kind of nice.
Yeah. And it's those little benefits that I think are helpful because they can get you pointed in the right direction of a healthier lifestyle, which helps bring down your group health insurance costs if everyone's living a little bit healthier and nicer. But how can choosing the wrong health insurance be harmful? It just sounds expensive to me if you choose the wrong one, like if you default to Cobra or something.
Yeah. Choosing the wrong insurance could be financially devastating. A couple nights in the hospital is going to be tens of thousands of dollars. If you are not prepared to cover your deductible, your co-insurance, if you're not prepared for it, it's going to be financially devastating. And that's the biggest reason to research your options. If you're confused about your health insurance options, talk to your benefits person, talk to your HR person, ask questions. And, you know, and if they don't help you, reach out to me. I can help out as well. But yeah, the biggest reason is it can be financially devastating.
Yeah, that's perfect. I love it when a guest makes a perfect transition into my next question, which is how can people connect with you? Let's go ahead and dive into that.
Okay. So I have a side business called Breathe Again Budgets. I'm a budget coach, and the easiest way is get on my website, breatheagainbudgets.com, and I offer free consultations, a little chat. You can schedule right on my website.
Well, the nice thing is that our audience doesn't have to remember all the different places we are because they're in the show notes. So go ahead and click over there. You can get to our website. Both of us are on My Budget Coach, which you've heard me mention on the show before. But one final question that I have for you is, what's one thing you wish you had known sooner about health insurance?
How important it is. When I was very young, I started working. I was on my parents' health plan and I didn't have a clue. I just knew, hey, I went to the doctor. My parents helped me pay for the copay and that was it. I wish I would have known how the whole system worked. The one thing I do want to mention, and I know it's generally we're talking about health insurance, but in my years of experience, I have had several people, and this is about disability insurance. A lot of my employees or younger generation don't want to pay the premium for short-term disability or long-term disability. And disability insurance is a way for you to have income replacements if you become disabled and cannot work. I was in a car accident back in 2011. I was out of work for almost 3 months. And if I did not have short-term disability, I would not have had any income coming in. One big piece of advice that I give to people is if you have a bunch of money in your savings account to replace your income, because you never know when something's going to happen, then you might not need disability insurance. I know that we were talking about health insurance, but disability
it's
is
important.
Yeah, is important. Yeah. And I've had so many people, they broke an arm or something, they were out of work for even just 6 weeks. So you don't have income coming in. That can also be financially devastating. So in addition to getting the right health insurance, get at least the short-term disability if you can, if your employer offers it. Short-term disability generally will last up to 6 months. There is what they call an elimination period, so the first 2 weeks. Generally, it's not going to be paid, but then after that, it helps replace a good portion of your income. That is one thing I definitely wanted to make sure that people knew about as well.
Thank you for adding that, because I would even argue that disability insurance is probably more important than life insurance. If you die, you're dead. Your expenses are going to go down because, like, if you're married, but if you're disabled, your expenses are probably going to go up from needing to care for the disability. So disability insurance is a great reminder to make sure you're considering. My wife and I, we like to bike to her work. I work remote, so I'll bike her to work and then bike home. When she started her job as a PA, I'm like, we can't not have disability insurance on you, because if for some reason we get hit by a car and you break your hand, now you can't work for a little while. Great reminder there for disability insurance to wrap it all up here. But Christine, thank you so much for coming on the show. This has been a great conversation.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Christine, again, so much for coming on. That was a great explainer episode about health insurance, which can often, like I said, be just complex, frustrating, and confusing. So I really hope you appreciated that one. Make sure you reach out to Christine if you have any questions for her. Of course, the links are in the show notes. But let's get into the money talking points here. The first one is, what health insurance plan is right for you? Well, there are a ton of things to consider when looking at health insurance. Some of the main things to consider are your cash flow needs and how much you will use the insurance. If you're looking to keep your premium low, then a high deductible health plan may be the right choice for you. It will have a higher deductible, but it should have a lower premium than a more traditional plan. Do be careful though here, because some employers may have older style of plans that are a lot more subsidized than high deductible health plans, which you may hear me refer to as HDHP. But high deductible health plans should be cheaper than the traditional plans, but if they're not as subsidized, they may be more expensive and a worse option. So if the high deductible health plan is not cheaper from a premium perspective than a traditional health plan, then you may not want to choose it. So that's just something to watch out for. High deductible plans are good for people who may not use it at all, or who will max it out and use all of it. That way you either land on the side of a lower premium or you land on the side of less out-of-pocket costs. And there is a way to do the math on the break-even point of that. So I would recommend doing the math or asking your HR department if they have some of those calculations. Then you can determine if you think you would hit that point and then decide based on that break-even point. But you do need to make sure to consider your cash flow needs, because if you need more money than the lower premium of the high deductible plan, may be the better choice. Also, something to remember here as you're considering health insurance, consider changing every year. Do not let it auto-renew without at least looking into it and doing something about it, because you may be able to change plans every year and choose one that's better for the upcoming year. A great opportunity that people usually do this with is pregnancy. If you're expecting a child, there may be a great chance to change insurance options to one that'll be cheaper out of pocket, like your final total cost, may be cheaper if you change health insurance options. So that is something that is absolutely worth considering. Your HR department is hopefully very well versed in health insurance, or hopefully they have some sort of vendor that they can refer you to with your questions. But make sure to ask questions. Don't just accept something if it doesn't seem quite right. Make sure you have all the knowledge that you can get. I had noticed one time that my employer's portal for health insurance was listing something different and much better than what was in the benefit package. So I had to make sure to ask so I wasn't planning or getting sidetracked or thinking about some plan that was incorrect or wrong. So make sure to ask your HR department any questions that you have, and they can help direct you in the right path. But if you don't have an HR department, send your questions my way with a text or reach out to an insurance professional with your questions. But let's not forget one of the greatest investment tools there is out there. Let's talk about the HSA next. The second money talking point is how can you use the HSA to minimize taxes? And I'm going to give a really good example in this one, so make sure you stay tuned here. But the HSA should be used for saving more than spending. After all, it's called the health savings account. Most people use it for spending, which is okay, but you miss out on so many opportunities that are just fantastic with the HSA. Let me explain to you with just one simple expense how the HSA could work to your benefit if you maximize it. I'm going to use round numbers to keep the math pretty simple and straightforward on me so I don't mess this up. But let's say you contribute $100 a month to your HSA starting in January. Now it's November, so you've done 10 months worth of HSA contributions. You're at $1,000 in your HSA. Congratulations, that's awesome. But boom, a medical event happens, and that bill comes to an even $1,000. How lucky are you? First, it's kind of crazy that it comes to an even $1,000, but I'm shocked it's even that cheap. So now you have two options. First, you can pay for the bill with the money right out of your HSA, and you may be able to pay for it with a debit card or directly from your HSA, and then you can wipe your hands of it. You're all done. That's completely an okay option to use your HSA for, but it's not the most efficient, optimized, and best method to use it for. So let's talk about the second option. You could pay for your bill with your own cash or savings, then leave the HSA alone. This is where the magic really happens. And I recommend the Fidelity HSA, as that's where my wife and I have our HSAs. Your HSA does matter in this example, so I do want to make sure to mention this here. If you have an HSA through work that's fee-laden and has no investment options, those suck. If you have one of those with no investing options and high fees, I would recommend doing the first option and just paying for cash straight out of the HSA with those expenses, especially if there's a large fee to roll over funds to a better HSA, which is the case for my work's HSA. There's a $20 fee just to move funds with a rollover to another HSA, which is a scam. But I would rather just take the cash quickly as possible out of that HSA to avoid fees. But that's only if you don't have good investing options or there's high fees. So let's get back around to a good HSA like Fidelity's. Let's say you have $1,000 in your HSA because you've been contributing every single month. So now you've paid your medical bill with your own cash and savings, not the money in the HSA. Now you can leave the money in your HSA until you need it. Consider it a $1,000 debt that your HSA owes to you that you can claim at any point in the future. There is no time limit. You do have to make sure here to have careful documentation of this so that you know how much you can claim out of your HSA. And honestly, you need to have good documentation of what expenses you're paying for with your HSA anyways, because your provider doesn't care, but the IRS may, if they come asking you about your qualified medical expenses for some of those tax benefits that the HSA offers. But now that you have careful documentation, you've paid that $1,000 out of your just savings account, not out of your HSA, and the $1,000 is still sitting there in your HSA. Let's say a few years have passed. So now we're traveling into the future and your $1,000 has doubled to $2,000 because of the stock market having a really great run. Now you can sell your investments, take that $1,000 as gain, and use it to reimburse yourself for that medical expense that you made years ago. My wife and I love to do exactly what I just outlined in that example, where we'll sit on a pot of unreimbursed medical expenses until we need the money. Then we can make plans to get it out of there, because who cares where your savings is if it's sitting in a way that's accessible, and if you can afford to have it invested, even better. We like to set a threshold of how much cash we keep in the HSA. That way, if we need to get to it very rapidly, we can, but we'll just let it sit there and grow, because who cares? It's growing tax-free. That's where the magic happens. Let's talk about this example and all the tax benefits that the whole transaction has, because the HSA is triple tax advantage and sometimes quadruple tax advantage. So the first tax benefit of that $1,000 that we talked about, first, all $1,000 of those contributions are tax deductible. Second, the money grows tax-free, so you're never paying taxes on that growth while it's... And then third, your earnings and withdrawals are not taxed if they're used for qualified medical expenses. So that money goes in as tax deductible, it's never taxed. It grows without any sort of tax being paid on it. And then you can pull it all out, both the money you put in and the gains, which is even better than an IRA in any sort of fashion. All of that money can come out without ever being touched by the IRS. And the fourth one is that if you're contributing directly through your work's payroll, you can also avoid FICA taxes on the contribution. So there you have it. The IRS will never see a penny of that $1,000 that you had just growing in your HSA over a few years. How amazing is that? If you have any questions about setting up an HSA to do this, please contact me. Send me a text, send me an email, whatever you need to do. I would love to help more people get their HSA set up like this. And I have some great spreadsheet templates and systems to make tracking all of this and keeping up on the documentation a breeze. So that does it for the HSA. It's one of the greatest investment vehicles out there. And you heard Christine mention something at the end of the interview about disability insurance. I want to make sure to touch on disability insurance here at the end. And I know the whole episode isn't about disability insurance, but it is something that is incredibly important and often completely overlooked. So the third money talking point, why is disability insurance important? Well, it keeps your paycheck going. Your employer isn't going to keep paying you if you're not working and you're disabled. This is the insurance that's going to protect your savings and your lifestyle tremendously. What if you got hit by a car tomorrow? That's often the example used with life insurance. What if you get hit by a car and die? Well, you need life insurance. Well, what if you get hit by a car and don't die? What do you do then? Life insurance is no good for you in this case. And now I'm not saying don't get life insurance, but I'm trying to emphasize the importance of also having disability insurance in case you survive whatever accident you're in, because you'll need to cover the time that you're out of work. And disability insurance is honestly very simple compared to the incredibly complex, confusing, and frustrating world of health insurance. It was a whole lot easier to get disability insurance on my wife, and I think you'd find it quite easy. And now I'm no disability insurance expert, but there are a lot of people out there, a lot of websites that'll help you get quotes and learn about it. So if you're getting into a career or you're the primary moneymaker in the family, please make sure to consider disability insurance. That way, if you're out of work, you're not out of money. And if you have any questions, let me know. I'd be happy to cover them in a future episode, or you can always email me and we can talk about it further there. That does it for this scary and spooky episode about health insurance. And I hope you enjoyed this episode of Money Talk. How are you liking the new updates and the new website? What do you think of Skylar's story time? Wasn't that a crazy awesome one this week about getting our flights for free? It's amazing. And I'm considering doing a deeper dive into credit card hacking. So if you're interested in that, let me know. If you have any specific questions about it, send me a text. I'd love to bring an expert on and cover the Money Buddies questions with this expert so that we can all do better with credit card rewards together. This is an area that I've been really hesitant to step into because I like to keep my financial situation easy and keep the administrative burden down. But it does not have to be complicated, and that's something I've learned over the last few months, getting that credit card bonus that I talked about. So what's upcoming on the show? Well, we could talk about credit card awards, so make sure to send me your questions, but I have a couple great episodes coming up about money and emotions, getting on the same page financially, and tax-efficient investing. Those are some great things coming up, but if you know someone who would be a good guest on the show, feel free to refer them to me. I'd love to have people on and talk to them about money that you'd like to hear from. So we have some great things coming up very soon. So be sure to subscribe and tell a friend about Money Talk so that we can all do better with money together. But thank you for listening to today's episode. The best way to stay up to date and connected with all things Money Talk is to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for my email list. Head over to moneytalk.show, what an awesome new website, by the way, and submit your name and email right there on the homepage. You can also use the contact page on my website to send me any questions. If you're looking to get started with budgeting, I've partnered with My Budget Coach, a platform that connects your budget directly to your financial coach, and I'd love to start working with you over there and help you with your budgeting. The link is in the show notes. Remember, the best way to learn from today's episode is to go and have a money talk about today's topic with a fellow money buddy. But thank you for listening to this week's episode of Money Talk. I'm your host, Skyler Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's,